أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. واضرب لهم مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the sufferings and the punishment that the people of Jahannam will face in Akhirah. And that was followed by a description of some of the rewards and enjoyments that the people of Jannah will have in Akhirah due to their iman and because of the righteous deeds that they have performed in this world. Now, in Surah Al-Kahf, what makes it unique is because in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates to us four stories, short stories. First is the story of the people of Kahf. It was a short story, a few ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had narrated to us that story. And the second story is the one that we will discuss this morning, inshaAllah. The third story is also another short one, the story of Musa alayhi salam when he meets with Khadr and the journeys that they had undertaken. And the fourth story is the story of Dhul Qarnayn, a very pious king that had lived on earth. Now, each one of these stories teaches us and speaks of a certain test and a challenge that we face as human beings. So the first story, Surah Kahf, related to us and spoke to us about the challenge and the test of faith, Iman. That those youngsters, when they had embraced Iman and when they became believers, there were challenges that they faced and there were tests that they had encountered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there spoke of this challenge and the test of faith and the trials that come along with it and how we should deal with it. This incident, the second story, speaks of the test of wealth, the test of wealth, the test of affluence. And the third story of Musa alayhi salam and Khadir alayhi salam teaches us of knowledge, the power, the test and the challenges that come along with knowledge. And the last story teaches us of the test and the challenge of power. So over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates to us an incident that had taken place. Allah knows best where this had taken place, who these two men were, and in which era the incident had occurred. There were two men, Allah says, one was a believer, the other one was a disbeliever. But they had a relationship with each other and they would communicate and have discussions amongst themselves. Allah tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cite to them the example of two men. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. The one of them, we had made for him, we had given him two orchards, two gardens, two jannas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then Allah describes these orchards and these huge gardens that he had. Allah says, min a'nab, they were of grapes. So it was like a vineyard, each of these gardens. Wa hafafnahuma binakhlin. So Allah says, in the center of the orchard, in the center of the gardens, there was all these grapevines that produced a whole lot of grapes, and around it, وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا, and we surrounded each garment with date palm trees. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا, and then in between the grapevines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we allowed crops and tillage to grow. So subhanallah, and in those days, possessing an orchard of this kind and possessing these type of gardens was indeed a sign of great affluence, number one, and it was a really sought after commodity. You know, today people maybe have a certain commodity or a certain asset that they strive to work for and wish to own one day. This was that type of asset in those days. So two of these huge, lovely, beautiful orchards Allah possessed, Allah allowed him to own. Allah says about these two orchards, Kiltal Jannatain, both of these gardens, Atat Ukulaha, gave forth its fruits. meaning it produced abundant fruit. It was not just a beautiful orchard that was pleasant to the sight, but also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it produced a whole lot of fruit. وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. It did not withhold anything, these orchards and these gardens. وَفَجَّرْنَا. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. Allah says, and then we caused rivers and streams to flow in between these gardens. Can you imagine what and how beautiful this might have been? This person tasted a piece of Jannah in this world. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and over and above that, he had all other types of wealth. So he had other investments as well. He had other sources of income as well. He had other types of wealth as well. It was not only confined. His assets were not confined to only these two properties and these two orchards. فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When he looked at all of this, he said to his friend, to his companion, who was a believer, one day he said to him, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ. While they were discussing and while he was conversing with him, what did he tell his friend? He says, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا. I am greater than you in wealth. Look at you, you have nothing. Look at what, you wasted your life. What have you done with your life? So many years, you should have worked the way I worked, and you should have earned the way I earned. Look at what I have. What do you have? We are the same. Time and again, you might hear amongst friends, amongst colleagues, sometimes amongst adults also, taunting their nephews or taunting their nieces or taunting other family members. What have you done with your life? Why have you wasted away your life? Look at my son. Look at this cousin of yours. Look at that one of yours. Look at these type of comments, boasting of the achievements that they had made in as far as worldly gains are concerned. So he said to him, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا. I have more wealth than you. وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I am greater than you in manpower. Look at how many people I have working under me. So many people at the click of the fingers, and I have thousands of employees and staff members ready to serve me. Look at all that I have. Look at the power I have. Look at the wealth that I have. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one day he enters his garden and he looks at the garden. وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says while he was an oppressor unto himself. Due to his ungratefulness, he was an oppressor unto himself by boasting. All you are doing is you are wronging your own self. And when he looked at his garden, قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا. He looked at it. Sometimes a person walks into his store that he owns, or he walks into his company, or he walks into his office, wherever it may be, he walks into his home, and he's so taken by the beauty, and he looks at all of this, and he thinks to himself that, look at my effort, look at what I have produced after years and years and years of sweat and tiredness and effort. This is all the fruits of my hard work. So when he saw all of this, he walked one day into his garden and pride had seized him, admiring the orchard and the gardens and his effort. He says, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I don't think any of this will perish. I have it so well secured. I'm so well established now. And I'm so well, protected and secured against any type of damages, against any type of losses. I don't think any of this will suffer any loss. I don't think any of this will perish. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And I don't even think that السَّاعَةَ, the final hour, that Qiyamah will come. So he was a disbeliever. One is his pride. One is his arrogance. Number two is attributing his effort, his achievement to his own effort and to his own hard work. And number three is he rejected al-akhirah, that the fact of accountability and reckoning before Allah Azza wa Jal did not strike him. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And then look at the level of his arrogance. Look at the level. He said, and if there is something like Qiyamah, if I am taken back to my Rabb, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. What does he tell his friend? Guess what? If I am sent back, and if I am resurrected, as you claim, then I will find in al-akhirah better than what I was given in this world, whenever I return in replace of this, in place of this, and at my place where I will be returned, I'll find something even better than this. In other words, what is he claiming? He's claiming that all that I have here is a sign that Allah is pleased with me. Many people think that way, because of the riches, because of the wealth, Allah must love me. Allah must love me. That is why he has given me so much. Neither is affluence a sign. Neither is affluence or riches and wealth a sign of Allah's approval, nor is poverty a sign of Allah's disapproval. Some people feel that I haven't been given much. Does Allah hate me? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not love me? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not have a care for me? Why have I been deprived and someone else has been given? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that this dunya, Allah gives it to a believer, Allah gives it to a disbeliever also. Allah gives dunya to the one whom he loves and he gives dunya to the one whom he dislikes as well. But deen, la yu'tihi illa liman yuhib. But deen and iman, Allah gives it only to the one whom he loves. So the fact that you have deen, that's a sign that Allah loves you. That enough is a sign. No matter what your financial situation may be, but if a person has deen, that is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for that person. So this person, he says, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي, and if I am returned to my Rabb, then most certainly I will find خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا, I will find better than this at the place where I am returned to. May Allah grant us understanding.